The mayor of Chicago wants to upgrade the Windy City.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. What does $7 billion buy you these days? Well, Rahm Emanuel, the former White House chief of staff and now mayor of Chicago, hopes it'll buy a total makeover for his city. That includes a new runway at O'Hare Airport, upgrades to rail and bus service, and a rebuilding of the city's water and sewer system. Some of the $7 billion will come from new fees, some from cost savings, and some from a new public-private infrastructure bank. For more, let's bring in the mayor himself. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, tell us about your grand $7 billion plan.
Well, it's 30,000 jobs in the next 3 years. And as I like to say, whether it's from the streetlights above or to the sewage lines below and everything between, we're literally going to build a new Chicago, all paid for. But none of it includes a sales tax increase or a property tax increase.
And some of it is this idea of a public-private partnership. And I want to ask you about that because I think a lot of people who live in Chicago, when they hear that, they're going to think of the famous deal with the parking meters and privatizing the parking meters, and now the city doesn't get any money from them.
No, well, here's the difference. Some of the facilities, cultural center, it's 100 years old. When we're done, we're going to save about $30,000 a year in energy costs, but we still own the cultural center. We're not privatizing it. We're just literally using private money to build out the energy efficiency. There's about $1 million worth of energy savings work to be done that will pay out $100,000 a year in savings and for energy costs. But on the very day I announced it to create these 30,000 infrastructure jobs, Washington passed the 9th extension of the transportation bill.
Yeah.
The last real one was 2005. Who would ever tie their city's economic destiny to that dysfunction?
Well, when you look at your vision for the future of Chicago, I think back to your predecessor, Mayor Daley, and his wife, Maggie Daley, heading off to Paris and seeing flowers everywhere and then coming back and putting flowers all over the city of Chicago. Where do you look for inspiration?
Well, you learn a lot from all different types of mayors who are doing different things. Literally, some of the retrofit we're doing is an idea that your mayor in L.A. gave me, and the mayor of Vancouver gave me. All of us learn from each other. One of our selling points is it's very convenient to live in a city and get to work because of our mass transit system. But if my mass transit system is not working at top speed, that advantage gets lost. And I won't let that happen.
Well, one of the disadvantages of your city right now, it appears to be, is that it's got a reputation, the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, for being a high-tax place to do business. Is that hurting you right now?
Well, as you know, in my budget, we did not raise any taxes. In fact, we cut them. And here's my view. Having a smart and educated workforce matters. Having a modern infrastructure matters. Does tax matter? Yes. But if everybody leaves in the economic development discussion a trained and educated workforce out of the discussion, you're not having a real discussion. If you're not having a discussion that includes whether you have a modern airport that allows you to get anywhere in the world directly or anywhere in the country directly, you're not really having a serious discussion about economic development. So my view is taxes are part of the discussion, not the discussion.
You spent a lot of your time as White House Chief of Staff getting the health care overhaul passed. If the Supreme Court strikes it down, what do you think is the next step for health care reform?
I appreciate the question. First of all, I'm going to focus on Chicago. Second of all, I don't deal in what-ifs. So the court will make their ruling, and then we'll deal with what that is. But the president made a decision in America's both its interests on both economic and social and fiscal priority. It was the right thing to do, and he saw it through and accomplished something the country had been debating for a long time. But as it relates to how the court's going to rule, I don't deal in hypotheticals until they will make it a reality.
Rahm Emanuel is the mayor of Chicago. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for taking the time.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up about 0.4% right now in London. More Americans are going to be sticking around the U.S. for vacations this summer, according to the travel website Kayak. Searches on Kayak for flights to places like L.A. jumped 20% in January, while searches for flights to London dropped 40%. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 66 points to close at 13,212.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
When you go to the pharmacy to pick up your prescriptions, chances are you interact with either Express Scripts or Medco. Those companies process prescription drug claims. And this week, they're expected to finalize a merger with each other. That's got some pharmacy chains worried, as our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports.
Brace yourself for less choice. That's what an ad from the pharmacy group says will happen.
They'll be able to tell me when, where, and how to get my medicine.
They'll be able to squeeze big profits out of patients.
Medco Express Scripts?
Too big.
But Brian Henry, a spokesman for Express Scripts, says the goal is beefing up bargaining power.
What pharmacy benefit managers like Express Scripts and Medco do, and we think we'll be able to do more of in the future, is accelerate our ability to help drive down costs and help improve the quality.
One way to do that, he says, is giving consumers a cheaper option of buying their drugs by mail. But the pharmacy groups complain Express Scripts and Medco combined could funnel even more business to their own in-house mail-order firms, freezing out the local pharmacies. Henry insists that's not so.
Home delivery is an option that we offer to clients and patients to opt into.
Don Bell speaks for the National Association of Chain Drug Stores. He says the merger could doom many corner pharmacies.
Pharmacies will have to cut service, cut their hours, have forced layoffs of employees, and even closing of pharmacies.
And with reduced competition, he argues, consumers could end up paying more. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, the company that makes TurboTax has come out with a list of the cities that procrastinate the most on their taxes. Portland, Oregon is number 10. Minneapolis is number 7. L.A., number 4. Washington, D.C. residents are the third biggest procrastinators, though maybe that's because their taxes don't buy them any representation in Congress. Number 1 is San Francisco. Not sure what their excuse is. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.